Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to the National Vocational Rehabilitation Conference Call. During the presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. Afterwards, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. At that time, if you have a question, please press the 1 followed by the 4 on your telephone. If at any time during the conference you need to reach an operator, please press the star followed by the 0. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded Tuesday, March the 10th, 2015. I would now like to turn the conference over to Mr. Nate Arnold. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, operator. Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for joining us. Those of you that don't have a copy of the agenda in front of you or aren't looking at it, you know, I'm going to do a quick update on cost reimbursement, and then we're going to talk a little bit about SVR electronic files. I think the feature of today's call is the ticket portal demonstration, which I know you're all looking forward to. I can give you all a few seconds to get popcorn and candy if you need at this point, but I know that's the main thing, so we won't hold up too much trying to get to that. In terms of the cost reimbursement update, last month we paid out just about $12 million in cost reimbursement claims. That puts us almost exactly $11 million where we were last year at this same point in time. We are still working some October claims, but generally speaking, if you have any claims that you show is still having not been accounted for that were September or before, then feel free to either shoot an email into the VR help desk, or if it's a list, fax it to the VR team. Before I get a question to that effect, the fax number is 410-966-3280, and we'll get somebody to check on any of those cases that may have disappeared somewhere for you. With that, I'm going to say something about that.
No, I just need to say something about it as far as old.
Desiree, you wanted to say something now?
Before we move on with the agenda, I just wanted to make sure that you all are aware of two communications that Maximus sent you all recently. There was a Gov delivery message that came out on last Friday. The title was about the unavailability of the CUBER, the Quarterly Beneficiary Earnings Report, and that is going to lead to expanded e-pay. We are going to have to make that file unavailable for the current future. We're not sure how long, but we will let you know as time goes on where we stand with that. But we need to be able to fulfill some requirements, including a new agreement with OCSC and some privacy and disclosure requirements. But in the meantime, we are happy to announce that we are going to make ePay available across the board for those of you who are VRENs. That would actually mean that you would get your payments electronically. You have an ePay file, so you're getting your payments electronically. So you're in a good position. But these electronic payments would affect milestone and outcome payments. The other change for cost reimbursement, which is of great interest to everybody here, we're going to have a modified service. We realize that this is important to you, and while we're not able to continue with the current CUBER, we want you to be able to request payments, so we are going to notify you of those individuals who have 9 months of SGA based on the records that we have, so that you will at least be able to continue to request payments based on that data. We understand that some of you are using that data differently, but that's the best that we can do right now. We think that would do us all a great service, because you would still be able to file for cost reimbursement based on the information we provide you. The other communication that came out, and it probably came out as you were signing on or just before you left for this call, there's a message from David Weaver, and it's about the new ticket portal. And it's just his wanting to reach out to you all and make sure that everyone is aware that we're drawing closer to time and that, you know, this is something that we are excited to share with you all. And so he's outlining some information in there about the portal, and there's some reminders about the things that that you may already be aware of concerning the requirements. But David is really happy for the progress that we're making, and he's looking forward to your partnership and joining and using the new portal. And so I just wanted to make sure that you were aware of those two communications.
Thank you, Desiree. Looking at the chat line briefly, so Cindy King doesn't think I'm actually going to answer any of those faxes that you get. But, Cindy, I understand that the request you sent in was quite lengthy, apparently about 200 cases. So it is still being worked on. Hopefully we'll have answers to you very shortly on all of those. I encourage all of you not to let them build up quite to that extent. If it's not as many cases, we can turn it around a lot quicker. When it's a real big list, rather than get a bunch of people working on it, it tends to take one person a lot longer, and it can take us a while to get back to you, given all the other stuff that's going on in here right now. At this point, I think we're going to talk about in-use SBR electronic files. Katie, you on the line?
Hi, hello everyone. My name is Katie Strivinger, and I work for Nate and Des, and I wanted to give you an update on the in-use SBR electronic files and how it's going to work when we switch over to the new portal. The first thing I want to stress is that you're not going to have to make any changes to your putting your files in use, the files that you send us, or the files that we send back in response, letting you know whether or not a file has been put in use. So I hope to allay those concerns that you were going to have to make any programming changes. We are, however, going to add an option where on the file we send back to you, we're going to have extra information at the end of the file that will have a little bit more specific information for why an assignment or unassignment didn't go through. Right now, the current codes you get are pretty broad, and they do go and they do not go into as detail as we will be able to provide you in the future. If you are interested in receiving the extra information at the end of the file, then you will have to make a programming change. But like I wanted to stress, this is optional, and this is something that, you know, if you see in the future, this is something that you would like, and we can work with you to make sure you have test files and make sure this is working for you before you make this change. But at this time, in order to use the new portal and to submit in-use SBR electronic files, you will not have to make any programming changes. We will also have guides to come out, you know, giving you information about the new information at the end and what it's going to mean, and you can see whether or not it's something you want to use. And we will have a complete, you know, guide to what it's going to mean for you and the error codes. So I hope to allay some concerns there. We are trying to make the transition as easy as possible. We didn't want you to have to make programming changes. And if you do, we hope it'll be worth it for the information that we are going to attach at the end. And I will send it back to Nate.
Thank you, Katie. Des, do you have anything to add to that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then I think we're ready for the ticket portal demonstration. Pardon me. Trying to read, talk, and do a few other things all at the same time. So, Michelle Azure, I'm going to turn it over to you to introduce that presentation.
Yes, thank you, Nate, and thank you for those updates. We have gotten some questions and concerns about the electronic files, so thank you so much for that clarification and the overview, Desiree. And good to hear we're continuing to grow on the cost reimbursement side. That's all good news. Yes, as part of the message from David Weaver, we are excited about the new prospects that the new ticket portal will provide to our service providers. And so at this point, we are going to go to a PowerPoint demonstration, and our speaker this afternoon is Adele Barr with Program Integrity. So I'm going to turn it over to Adele.
Thank you very much, Michelle. And as you mentioned, yes, my name is Adele Barr, and I am with the Program Integrity Department. And I thank everyone for joining us today as we explore the new ticket portal. Now, we've designed this presentation in an effort to simulate the experience you will have once you're able to access the ticket portal. So we will navigate through the system by clicking on links. So again, just a reminder, it's a simulation of what you will experience. So first, we will visit the main menu of the ticket portal. And let's go ahead and review what you will find here. The assignment list section allows you to view a list of the beneficiaries currently or formerly assigned in use SVR to your state VR agency. The payments section allows you to review payments already made to your VR. The assigned and unassigned beneficiaries section will allow you to check the assignability of a beneficiary by Social Security number, assigned and unassigned tickets, upload a file to check assignability or process assignments or unassignments for multiple beneficiaries and check the status of the uploaded files and download the response when ready. The About Your EN or SVR section allows you to download a PDF that displays directory information about your state VR agency. Finally, the Case Notes section allows you to search for case notes you entered for a beneficiary. And if you make note, there's also a sitemap on your screen at the bottom left-hand corner. This displays the outline of the ticket portal application and the screens associated with each action. To the right of the sitemap, at the bottom of the screen, is My ENSVR Capabilities link, which displays the actions your state VR agency can perform or access using the ticket portal, as well as any restrictions Social Security has set for your particular state VR agency. And to the right of My ENSVR Capabilities is My Own Rights and Capabilities. Now, this will display the actions you can perform or access using the ticket portal. And to the right of My Own Rights and Capabilities is Links, which displays links to useful websites. Next to Links is a reference table link, which provides access to information like denial reason codes, SGA and trial work levels, and ticket payment amounts. This will be a pop-up window that you can reference as you're actually working within the ticket portal. The announcements link at the bottom right-hand corner of the screen will allow you to see the announcements at any time. And finally, from this screen, there is a sign-out button in the upper left-hand corner. It is important that you sign out by clicking the sign out button instead of closing your web browser. And be careful of using the back button on your web browser because it will actually log you out of the ticket portal and you will have to sign back in. Okay, we will now look into assigning a new ticket. The first step is to determine if the ticket is eligible. And during your initial interview with the beneficiary, you can determine if his or her ticket has been assigned by going to the Check Assignability by SSN link. The individual status and use history screen will display. You must enter a Social Security number to review the ticket status and ticket use history. Enter a Social Security number and select Search. Now the screen will display the information for the ticket status and ticket use history based on that SSN. In this example, we will assume that the beneficiary's ticket has not been assigned. And since the beneficiary does not have an open VR case, you can complete and sign the individualized plan for employment. in a later release before the April rollout, additional functionalities to open a VR case for single beneficiaries will be included here. Let's assume that we are a state VR agency where we do not have to submit IPEs, but have them stored in our office. With this being the case, a state VR agency would be able to open a VR case. And from this screen, the state VR agency would click the Open a VR Case button. The state VR would assign the ticket by inputting the beneficiary's name and open VR case date and clicking Submit. Now, if you want to submit a file with multiple beneficiaries for opening a VR case, you'll be allowed to upload the file following a standard format. And we will circulate the specifications of the file format later to all of the service providers. And when uploading such a file, depending on the number of beneficiaries and the load on the system, you may have to come back at a later time to see the results of the submission. Now you have the file processing status of upload screen that displays, and this is a display screen. This will display the processing status of uploads for the state VR agency. You can also download the processed file for your use, and the values in the following columns can be selected and a pop-up description box will display. File type, processing status, and downloaded. We'll now select the main menu button to return to the main menu. Assuming that the file uploaded, you can check the list beneficiaries currently assigned to me to make sure the ticket for the beneficiary was assigned. The list of beneficiaries currently assigned to me screen displays the list of beneficiaries currently assigned to your state VR agency. And you can use search filters such as assignment date ranges either by using the calendar icon or typing it in or the name to narrow the search results. We have actually blurred out some of the beneficiaries' names, but we'll click on the actions link circled in red next to one of the beneficiaries' information. Now what this does, this advances to the more action screen and will take you to a list of actions that you can perform for this beneficiary. Please note that this is a dynamic list and will show you only those actions that are applicable for this beneficiary. In this example, it displays 8 different menus items for this particular beneficiary. The menu items should be self-explanatory. The Show Payments option will display payments for the beneficiary. The Show Pending Payments will display any pending payments for the beneficiary. And this link will only display if there are pending payments for the beneficiary. The Show Assignments link will display the ticket status of the beneficiary. The Show TPR link allows you to see the status of the beneficiary's timely progress review. The View and Manage Case Notes link allows you to enter case notes. Now, this section is confidential information that can only be viewed by your state VR agency and not by Social Security or the Operations Support Manager. You may wish to include important information pertaining to the client's case or to a future activity for a client. We have the request of payment, where this will allow us to submit a payment request. And the unassign or close this case link allows you to unassign a ticket. And finally, convert VR case to the ticket link will allow you to convert a VR case over to the ticket program. Let's select unassign or close this case to unassign a ticket. To unassign a ticket, enter the ticket unassignment date and specify who requests the ticket unassignment. Once the EN clicks submit, a screen will appear to confirm that the unassignment was successful. Let's go ahead and click on close to return to the More Actions menu. Now, if you want to see payment requests that completed processing, either paid or denied, we will have to use the Show Payments link from the More Actions menu. And when you select the Show Payments link, the individual ticket payment summary screen will display. And we want to see why John Doe's payment on 12/10/2012 was denied. So you notice there is a denial code of 02. And to find out what that code means, we can either select denial codes at the top left-hand corner of the table, circled in red, or you can click on the denial code by the transaction in question. We'll go ahead and click on the denial code circled in red by the transaction for 12/10/2012. As you can see, this displays a pop-up with the denial information. We'll go ahead and close the pop-up by selecting the X in the top right-hand corner. And we'll go ahead and select the button Close to close out of the Show Payment screen. And we'll select Close button to close out of the More Action screen. Now we will select the Main Menu button to return to the Main Menu. Now we're back to the Main Menu, and we will now explore another option to check if a payment is finished processing. We'll now select the View Payments Already Made to Me. You may search here for payments already made to your state VR for all the beneficiaries based on dates and denials, whereas the Show Payment screen displays payments for just one beneficiary. The Payments Already Made to Me screen is similar to the Employment Network Payment Status Report on the old portal. Now here you just enter the dates that you wish to search, and please note that the start and end dates cannot be more than a year apart. The results will display, which you can view on a spreadsheet by selecting the option Download Entire List to Excel. So we'll go ahead and click on the Main Menu button to go back to the Main Menu. Let's take a look at Timely Progress Review status. We'll go ahead and select beneficiaries currently assigned to me from the Main Menu. And here we'll select Actions link to go to the More Actions menu. We'll select TPR status, and then from there, the More Actions menu. Now the TPR status screen allows you to see the status of John Doe's Timely Progress Review, and we'll click on the Provide TPR Assistance link. This takes you to a screen that allows you to enter TPR qualifying criteria and also optional comments online. You would press the Submit button once you entered all of the information. Let's take a peek at the Case Notes section. So I'll select View and Manage Case Notes link from the More Actions menu. The ticket portal allows you to enter case notes. Again, as I mentioned before, this confidential information can only be viewed by your state VR agency and not by Social Security or the Operations Support Manager. You may choose to use case notes to include important information about a beneficiary or a future activity for a client. We'll select the Add a Note. You can add notes by selecting Note Diary Date. And the note expires date provides you the option of having the note disappear at a specified time. You would select the Save button to save the notes. And when you return to the case notes screen, the note will display and a Delete button will be available. We'll go ahead and select the Close button to return to the More Actions menu. I will select the button Close from the More Actions menu. And now we'll select the Main Menu button from the list of beneficiaries currently assigned to me. Now from the Main Menu, I will select View Directory Information about your ES or State VR. The View Directory Information about your State VR screen will display. This is an active screen, and this screen allows you to view all of the directory information for your State VR agency. You must select whether to include all service sites or only active service sites. Once the radio button is selected, select the Download All Service Sites link. An Adobe document will load with the information based on your selection. And this should be the first item you check to make sure that all your information is correct. If there is incorrect information, contact the VR Help Desk at Social Security. I appreciate everyone's attention. This actually concludes the presentation. And then we would actually click on the sign out link as indicated by the red arrow. Michelle?
Thank you, Adele, for that overview. I'm now going to have Katie speak to the portal functions, and then we're going to hear from Desiree Fitzgerald on the overall goals and objectives of the ticket portal. Katie?
Hello, everyone. I'm back. After this presentation we just had, I thought I'd go over the functionality and explain in a few cases how what the current portal does versus the new portal will do for each function so you can get a bit of an idea of where we're going. The first thing you are already aware of is that there are different access requirements. The current portal, your access is controlled by the Awesome. They create a PIN and password for you, and they are the ones who you have to contact if you have any problem accessing the portal. You need a valid PIN and password, and you have to have your identity verified over the phone. The new portal, your access requires a valid username and password, but the password and username are created by creating a My Social Security account with extra security. So your username and password is not set by anyone here at ENSC or the VR Help Desk. Your username or password is created based on the MySSA.gov website. So if you have any problems with accessing your username and password at MySSA.gov, you have to contact the 1-800 number. And the verification of your identity is via text, because this is related to your, we are not using your personal information, but the username and password you are using is tied to your personal information, which is why we verify your identity by text. And like I said, your point of contact for granting access once you have a password set up is to contact ENSC or the VR Help Desk. But if you have a problem with using your password, that is the MySSA 1-800 number. Ticket assignability. Ticket assignability can currently be done batch and one at a time. And the assignability, the information you get back, is 2 to 3 days old. In the new portal, you will be able to do ticket assignability in batch and one at a time, but the ticket assignability is in real time. If you click on SSN, you say check the assignability, and you get back that it is assignable, you can click another button and assign the ticket or put it in use. There is no delay, the information is not outdated, and it will happen in real time. And that brings us to the ticket status. The current ticket status that you see when you go in the current portal is 2 to 3 days old, while the ticket status in the new portal
is going to be in real time. When you contact someone at SSA or Awesome about a ticket question, the information they are looking at in the system is the exact same information you are looking at. Ticket assignment and assignment requests for taking tickets out of use. Right now, the request is sent to SSA's system by Awesome. So you are sending your ticket assignment file to the Awesome. Awesome is sending it to SSA's system overnight. The request is either accepted or rejected by SSA's system the next day. And then 3 days later, the response is posted to the portal. So when you keep checking in the portal to see if your ticket assignment has taken, it does take a while. With the new portal, the request is sent directly to SSA's system. If the assignment is accepted, it is effective immediately, and you will be able to see in the portal that the ticket that you put in use will change and be added to your ticket currently assigned to me list. I'm going to gloss over payment requests because, as someone did point out in the comments, this payment request right now is for EN payments. In the future, we hope next spring, this will include VR cost reimbursement payments. So the information you see here is going to have the same flow for you in the future, but right now there is no use for you at this time unless you are acting as an EN. And the marketing file, right now that is not in the current portal. You get mailed a CD. In the future, you'll be able to download the marketing file from the portal. And this marketing information is going to be updated on a weekly basis, unlike the current CD, which is monthly. And a new feature that we are adding is the new portal will have the ability for you to do messaging through the portal. You'll be able to sit in the portal, do your work, inform your business, and send a message to the VR help desk with a question, and it will go automatically from the portal to our system. So you should get faster responses, and hopefully, you know, we won't have email chains. It'll be in the system and be easier to track. So I hope that has helped my overview, given you an idea of some of the changes. We hope you find all of them positive, and we hope you get to see what it's like to do business in real time with us. And I will give it back to Michelle.
Thank you, Katie. And actually, we will that was very helpful, that review, as well as your responses to a few of the questions there that we have in the chat line, and we will definitely note those in the minutes. At this time, I would like to turn it over to Desiree to give us some kind of the goals and the expectations of the ticket portal.
Thank you, Michelle. Well, I'm very happy that we're finally able to show you and give you a peek at the new portal. We've been talking about it for almost a year now, and we have been working behind the scenes to try to make it as user-friendly as possible. I wanted to let you know that the new portal is part of a larger effort to modernize and consolidate our return-to-work systems. The current portal, just like the system we use to process your payment, VARMIS, isn't connected to the other return-to-work systems that have the information that's required to process the cases. So we wanted to solve that connectivity problem. That was one of the things that we wanted to do. We're also currently spending time and money to maintain a variety of systems, and these systems don't talk to one another, and at times the information isn't synchronized. And, you know, with that being the case, we run the risk of sometimes even losing information or having delays in the process because of manual actions. So, you know, this makes additional work for all of us, and it takes away from those limited resources that we have. So just as the current portal was progress for its time, we're expecting that the new portal will represent a new level of progress for all of us. And, you know, our goal was to build a system that's more secure, up-to-date, and efficient. And we believe that this will translate into administrative efficiencies for your agencies and improve customer service for beneficiaries, actually. Since we will all have the exact same information at all times, and we'll have the latest information. So we'll be sharing more information with you as time goes on about the transition to the new portal. But we're really happy that you have a chance to see where we're going. Michelle, that's it for me.
Oh, thank you, Desiree, and we all are looking forward to it. And the demonstration today clearly shows that we are moving to that next level in our portal technology. And, Nate, are you ready for the questions that we have? Actually, they're Nate and Desiree and Katie. I have James here ready to read them out if we can just respond to them before we open the call line. Is that all right with you, Nate?
Yeah, we can do the chat line ones first. There may well be 20 minutes worth of them, and we don't actually get to open it up. But
okay, James, you want to read the first one?
The first question, well, the first comment was from Cindy King, just in response to the conversation before. Could someone contact me regarding the list of pending claims? I faxed a list of about 36 names. So that's a follow-up to what was discussed before. And then the first question is, I am still seeking information about my suitability. Is there a deadline for suitability?
The suitability is pending, Ronell, and I will contact you when I hear something back from suitability. This is Natalie, by the way.
Great.
The next question?
When we send in any inquiries to the help desk or fax, can SSA please send a confirmation that the inquiry has been received and that you will be working on it? If we don't get a confirmation or receipt of our inquiry, then we will continue to request information. That was from Eugenia.
Well, with that threat of continued inquiries in mind, actually, I think we will experiment with trying to give confirmations on all of the inquiries. When they come into the help desk, that's actually not too hard to do because it's an email and we can just respond and say, we got it, who's working on it, and we will do that. If you fax the list in, please include an email address for us to send that confirmation to. We'll try it. We'll do it for a while, and if it doesn't slow, you know, our response and our operations down too much, then we'll make that SOP.
Thank you.
I believe the next question was already answered. Where is the TPR section on the new portal? I think we covered that, so we'll just move on. There's two questions about the Cuber, so we'll just bunch them together. Will the Cuber still be available to download is the first question. And then the second question is, well, it's first a comment. I used Cuber solely to locate quarterly wages. Will I be able to find them in this system, in the new portal?
Actually, the system is programmed to provide a CUBA report. So, yeah, our vision is to have that information available to you. But, of course, in light what we've heard from our general counsel recently, we won't make it available until after we've renewed our agreement and done some other privacy and disclosure things. So it will be there eventually, but it is not available now. It's programmed there currently, but we will not be updating the mid-March file that you would normally have gotten.
Okay, thank you, Desiree.
Okay, I'm going to try and batch a couple questions here together about the monthly case plans and closures. In what section do we send the monthly case plans and closures in a batch format as we currently do with MOVEit? And then there was a question, we send in 900 to 1,000 people plans and closures every month when we send in a batch. Will we be able to get a full report on all the individuals versus looking up the status individually?
Right, and so that's actually the in-use SBR file, electronic file format that Katie was speaking to. So, Katie, can you speak to the batch upload of those files and will there be an analysis report provided back to the state VR agency?
Yes. This is not in our pilot yet, which is why when you saw the screen from the main menu, you didn't see an option to upload your file. But there's a section with assignments. That is where you will be able to click and go, and that's where you will upload your file, your in-use SBR file, and you'll be able to put tickets in use or out of use. So that should not change. That just isn't the section for you to look at right now, but the functionality will not change. And, yes, you will get either, you know, right away, depending on how large your file is, you can get a response right away. And if it's a little larger, it may take a few minutes, but you will be able to go in and get your response file, and you will get a response. You're going to send the response in batch, and you will get a batch response back.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Great. In terms of the reports on the ticket assignments, the ticket assignment report, do we have access to both currently assigned tickets as well as previously assigned tickets?
The answer to that is yes. Everyone will have those two links at the top. You'll be able to see the current beneficiaries, and then you'll be able to see past beneficiaries.
Good to know. Okay.
Okay, next is a payments question. For the payments reports, does that include cost reimbursement, or payments include cost reimbursement, not just milestone outcome payment, correct? That's how the question was posed.
The cost reimbursement payments will not be in until next spring.
Okay.
These are only in payments at the time being.
Yeah. The cost reimbursement modernization is on a different track from this portal. So what will happen is, you know, when we finish with the portal, we will begin work on Vermis. You've heard Nate mention on previous calls that we were going to modernize the VR payment system. And so when that happens, then you will have cost reimbursement payment information in the system, as well as a great degree of automation on your payments that doesn't currently exist.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. The next one is a TPR question. Do we have to request TPR information on each individual client? Can we still generate a batch of TPRs that are due and still get notifications of TPR that need to get completed?
I can take this one.
Okay.
On the main screen, if you go to the tickets currently assigned to me screen, I know we went through the screen pretty quickly, but there is a column for TPR status. And if there is a pending TPR that we want you to respond to, you will see a notification there, and that is where you will go. So you will see on a list that you have a TPR to respond to. There is no batch TPR file planned at that time. We can definitely take that as a note of something that you would be interested in. And then we do have the option that if you are solely trying to do TPRs, you can check a box and a TPR that you've already completed, you know, the beneficiary will not show up on your list, so that you can, you know, go through and complete them and see the result that, you know, you have five left and you're almost finished. So, but we will take the note about the batch TPR.
Thank you, Katie.
Okay, the next question is about batch assignability. I was told we would be able to check ticket assignabilities in batches like the current portal. How do you do that?
Can you repeat that one more time?
Sure. This is about batch assignability checks. The question is, I was told that we would be able to check ticket assignabilities in batches like the current portal. How do you check ticket assignability in batches?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, once again, this is something that we don't have the option on the screen to show you yet, but that would be under the assignment section, and yes, you will have that option.
Great.
Okay.
So the next question is, how far back does the cost reimbursement payment history go? I think.
If it was available in ITOPS, but it's not available in ITOPS right now. So, Desiree, I'm going to switch it and say, once VIRMS comes up, how far back will there be history on cost reimbursement? I don't even know if you've addressed that yet, but I'll throw that out there.
No, we haven't addressed it. Right now we have history going back to the early 80s, and so, I mean, that's available to us. I don't know if we want to put all of that in there, but we have it.
Okay.
Some of it's in hieroglyphics, but
yeah, we'll have to make a decision on how far to go back.
Okay, so we'll park that question for the next software.
We would certainly go back as far as the ticket program, because there's a relationship there with the other data that will be in the common system. But yeah, that's something that's still open to discussion.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is, it seems the denial codes will not be the same as the payment code list used by Social Security for cost reimbursements. Is this correct? if so, will this information be available on the new portal somewhere?
Denial codes? Yeah, why would they not be the same? I mean, but it's only for ticket stuff, so I don't know.
Katie, is that one that you can answer? Are you, what are we talking about, denial codes for cost reimbursement? That isn't there yet.
It sounds like, right, it sounds like the question is about cost reimbursement payments and
well,
when that functionality goes in the portal, that
yeah.
will match what we currently have in Vermis.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
so
once it goes live.
Yeah, well, we there was a slight, we were showing payment information for EN, and that may have been sort of the confusion. So, as you're saying, that won't be the case for cost reimbursement. Those denial codes. All right. Is that the last question, James?
Oh, no.
There's. Oh, I'm sorry.
People on the call, on the line. Which is which?
Yeah. Michelle, we probably should try and take a few phone calls and finish up these after the fact if necessary.
Oh, sure. Operator, would you open up the line for our callers to call in?
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to register a question, please press the 1 followed by the 4 on your telephone. You will hear a 3-tone prompt to acknowledge your request. If your question has been answered and would like to withdraw your registration, please press the 1 followed by the 3. One moment, please, for our first question. And our first question comes from the line of Mr. David Leon. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, David.
How are y'all?
Good.
Hi. Good. I just wanted to follow up on the Cuber and a couple of things that worry me. For Virginia, it has become a very important part of our cost reimbursement. We've been averaging over 90% of claims identified in Cuber getting paid, and it's millions of dollars. So my concern is what specifically is replacing it, and is it going to be as accurate and valid in terms of what it finds? That's really it. If you could speak a little more to that, and my other question was, really, that's the main one.
Well, yes, it will be as accurate and valid. It will be based on the same information that the Cuber was based on. It's just that you won't get information showing what quarters the earnings fell in and what, you know, the level of the earnings, whether it was child work or SGA, that kind of thing. What you will get is a list of all the people who currently have 9 out of 12 months of SGA according to our records. So you will have only the bottom line information needed to file a cost reimbursement claim, you know, but it for your EN payment cases, you would get the e-pay service on those. But for cost reimbursement, you will just get the bare bones information for filing a claim. If a person only has one quarter of earnings, we wouldn't provide that to you. That name would not be in the file.
So really what's going to happen is the cases that might have only had one or two quarters that I might have flagged to track, I won't necessarily see. I will only see claims that have three quarters of those wages.
Yeah,
correct?
I alluded to the fact that I know you all use it in different ways. So it's not, you know, a duplicate of what you're able to do now, but it is at a minimum you'll be able to still file your claims for reimbursement.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Operator, our next call.
And our next call, our next question comes from the line of Miss Eugenia Cox. Please go ahead.
Hi, it's me.
Hi.
First of all, I wanted to thank you all for working with us to fix the cost formula. That was very helpful, and it was because the whole thing was really confusing. Next, I think where a lot of the confusion is coming in with this portal is that a lot of us thought it would do more with cost reimbursement right away. And it doesn't sound like that's the case. So I think right now all the portal's going to do is let us upload batches of the data and be able to look up that information. Kind of like what the portal does now. Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, you'll be able to do your TPR, your ticket assignability.
Yeah.
You'll be in a more secure environment. You'll be able to get information if once we resolve the Cuber disclosure and legal matters.
Yeah.
You will be able to get that. So you don't have payment information in there, and that's why we have tried to discuss converting Vermis to a new system apart from the portal, because until we have Vermis as part of ITOPS, we can't feed the cost reimbursement processing information into the portal.
Okay.
So we have been talking about it as two separate projects, and so there's a year down the road before all of your processing information related to your VR payments would be available in ITOPS to be fed to the portal.
And I think that's where the confusing is. That's why you're getting these questions about certain pieces. So basically the portals will function as the portal currently functions.
It will.
Except for no Cuber for a while. And so all the TPR and everything else. And I think that's where the confusing part was. I thought it was going to immediately start doing stuff with cost reimbursement.
No,
and I think
that's where the confusion is. Yeah, we never portrayed it that way. And I'm sorry if you got that impression, but, yeah, those are two separate projects. We didn't even have we still don't have final decisions concerning the resource estimates and, you know, all of that for the Vermis work, but it's a project that's being pushed along, so we're confident that everything's going to work out. But yeah, it was on a totally different schedule.
Yeah, and when you get to that point to do starting with the cost reimbursement stuff, can we kind of give our input on certain pieces of it and test it like we would have? We're going to be testing with the new portal right now.
That certainly would be welcomed if you'll be in the portal, and so you would. We would need some of you to test that functionality out, because it won't just show up immediately. There'll still be a need for testing. Yeah.
Okay. Good. Okay. Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Ms. Kathy Smirion. Please go ahead.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi. This is Kathy Smirion, California. I agree with David regarding the Cuber report. We rely heavily on the Cuber in identifying claims that we can submit for reimbursement. And I have a big concern about that, how long it might be. And then when you say it's available, it'll be based on some information, but it won't include any quarterly information. They mentioned earlier that you'd be sending a list of people that met 9 months of SGA. How would you do that? At what point, how would I...
Well, from your perspective, everybody in the file is a person you could file a claim on. So if we would normally have sent you 100 names and you were able to file a claim on 6 of them, now we would just send you the six individuals. So with the file that you get, everyone in it would be someone who it appears you may qualify, considering other factors are met. But the earnings information is in our system. Yeah.
Would that be posted to on the portal or via mail, or how would I get that?
We have to work out the details of that, but it will be made available to you through the most efficient means we have available to us. But we have to have discussions about that.
So are we going to get the portal back, the Cuber, at some point, or?
Yes, I mean, yes, yeah, I would expect that you would, yes. I mean, and we will have to see. We'll see if this process we're using becomes a more efficient process. Remember, we're on our way to automatically paying under both
ticket and VR cost reimbursement when the information is in our system. For cost reimbursement, of course, we always need to know details surrounding your VR period and those kinds of things. But we'll work on making sure that there are leads available to you to the extent that we can.
Okay.
But for now, you should have information once we create the new process that will allow you to know those folks who are currently eligible.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Our next question.
I was going to ask Nate, how many more, I know that we're at the hour, how many additional calls do you want to take, any questions you want to take?
We were a little bit late getting started, so we'll at least try and take a couple more.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay. Our next question comes from the line of Ms. Dawn Duval. Please go ahead.
Hello, everybody. My question about the Cuber, when will what we currently have end? And it was already asked, how will we be notified when that list of claims we could possibly file will be sent? I'm just wondering, too, will it be by letter or through email, or will it be posted in the new portal?
We haven't worked out the details. I think the date in the notice where we said we were going to start making it available is March 12th. And... yeah, and we'll be giving you more information about the process once we have it ready, once we have outlined it.
Okay, and then again, it's going to be next spring before cost reimbursement payment information will be available on the new portal?
At least.
Yeah.
At least, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and do we have an estimated date on when the new portal will go in, will go live?
We're saying spring for now.
Okay.
There's going to be, we're going to have to, it depends, you know, on our system's releases, and if everything goes smoothly, it would be sooner rather than later, but spring, it will definitely be during spring.
This year, okay.
Yeah.
All right, thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Ms. Gina Haupt. Please go ahead.
Hi, how are you guys?
Hi,
Gina. Hi. I just have one quick question with the Cuber. Will it still include those people that are out of the state?
Yes. I'm sure it will.
Okay.
As long as you have, you know, as long as it's somebody that you have in use that's assigned to you, you'll get the earnings information for them.
So they have to be in use. It will not give us information of those that have ever touched VR?
No, I'm trying to remember. It could had to be in use or closed, I believe.
Okay.
We'll look back at the current criteria. We're not wanting to change any criteria, except we can't give you the alpha indicators aligned in the way that we have until our agreement is back in is updated and all those things happen. But we'll look back at the criteria for what's happening, and we will use the same criteria.
Yeah, that part is not changing.
Okay, because currently we get anybody that's ever touched VR that has been, like, in use.
Right. If they were your client at some point in time, you should continue to get information for them. As Desiree said, it'll just be those, though, that have 9 out of 12 months, which in some ways may actually make your working with the list for claims purposes a little bit easier.
Right. So it'll sort of go down to, like, when we used to get the scrub-down list from you guys?
Yeah, I would say that's very accurate. And, again, hopefully this is just a temporary issue. You know, assuming we can work out the agreement with Oxy, then we can go back to the more detailed reporting.
All right. Great. Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Avis Brown. Please go ahead.
Yes, my question is, will we be able to send an electronic file with all of our IPEs for the month, whether they're ticket to work cases or not, like we have in the past?
Katie, can you address that one?
Can you ask the question one more time, please?
Well, I wanted to know, we have been reporting our, like, all of our IPEs, and then we'll get the report back stating which ones were placed in use. And this is for, you know, the administrative purpose of, at our state office level, we have only two people that have the suitability. And our field staff in the past have been able to use the IVR to call to check ticket assignability and ticket status. But we're looking at, because we have so many regional offices and that's the only use that they have, they don't have a need, like they're not the ones that are placing it in use, or they have nothing to do with cost reimbursement or the timely progress reviews, we're going to eliminate the need for them to have access because they won't have any. And so, but we just wanted to make sure that if all of that was handled at our state office level, which we in the past, we just send all of our IPEs, and then we get the report back in the analysis letting us know which ones were placed in use.
Right. We will no longer have the IVR, but you will be able to upload a file with your IPEs, and you will get a response file back letting you know what has been put in use and what hasn't.
Okay.
Is your question about getting suitability for more staff, or was that?
No, that was actually my question. I know that
we can.
I know we, but it's such a tedious and, you know, with the turnover of our staff, we were finding that it would be most efficient for us if we don't have, if they don't have to do it, not having them go through that, because that's the only use they have, is checking ticket assignability, because they're not placing them in use. That's all done at state office.
Okay. Yeah, you will have the ability to do the same thing, like at the end use. You can check assignability in batches or one at a time using the portal. And we do have the ability with the portal that, say you have staff that only does that specific function, you can set it up so that those staff can only do that function in the portal, that they can't do anything else, if that's all you want them to do.
Yeah, but they would still have to go through all the suitability clearance, right?
Yes, unfortunately, okay. Yes.
Yeah, because
security for our portal is such that everyone is going to have to go through suitability.
Right, and so we're just trying to eliminate that process, but there's nothing that is just germane to what they have to do in the ebb and flow of everything. So thank you very much.
Okay, you're welcome. Sorry, I had to have things repeated. I wasn't sure what you were. Okay.
Yeah.
Our next question comes from the line of Ms. Annie Zafran. Please go ahead.
Hi. I don't mean to beat a dead horse here, but just a real quick question back to the Cuber and the fact that we won't have access to the wages, and we don't know when we will have access to wages again. Will we be able to have the timely filing waived if we, you know, if it doesn't pop up for a year and then we find out that they had wages but it's now past a year? Will that be waived?
I don't see the real connection between that, because we will be giving you the same information that we give you now, and just in a condensed version. If you would have had information before showing that some individuals had one quarter or two quarters or four quarters or eight quarters, now you will get individuals who have three or more quarters.
I understand that, but when does that start? I guess I'm just not quite understanding when that is going to start happening.
We haven't told you when that starts. You would normally
that's my point.
You would have normally gotten another file in mid-April.
Correct.
Yeah, and in the letter that we sent, the notice that we sent by Gov Delivery, we said that we would have something in place in June, but we were actually talking about the e-pay, and we expect to work out the details of the other process, which is we believe, less elaborate. So we would expect that it would be no later than June.
Oh, terrific. Okay, that's what I'm looking for. And I think that's what, like, most of us who've been asking that question have been looking for, is the date that we're, you know, the target date. So that'll be great. Okay, thank you.
For the new service, yes.
Great.
There are no further questions at this time.
And I think, operator, since we've gone beyond our normal time, we'll probably conclude today's call at this point.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude the conference call for today. We thank you for your participation and ask that you please disconnect your lines.